It's time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show here on Q92, and in the absence of Paul Ramo, who is participating in the annual Ramo Cup this weekend, and Dick Newman, he's out running around someplace, so in their absence, we've brought in the best. We've got Bart Hill with us today.
Well, thanks. I'll pay you later. But yes, welcome everyone to the baseball edition of the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. And like you mentioned, Paul is off lollygagging on a golf course someplace. They're down in Worthington, the annual Ramo Cup. Lounging on a pontoon, sitting around the campfire. Looks like all great stuff. But he said he hasn't won it in 20 years, and Greg Ramo won it last year. So if you're listening, Greg, you got to just lay up a little bit, let Paul win so we don't have to listen to him whine all the time. But so we're going to talk to four coaches this morning on the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to start off with the Madison Mallards manager, Matt Munson. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, Bart. I just want to say I'm honored to be your first guest on your coaches show. So
he had asked if I had been on the coaches show before, and I said, well, I was always in your seat doing it for many years, high school and summer, but never in the control seat. So, and I want to thank Maynard for being at the control. Yeah, get it on there. So, Matt, you got a couple games to talk about. We're going to go back to last Sunday, a big Land of Ducks game. You went over to Clinton. What a fantastic game. I was over there watching that game. Came away with a 4-3 win. And as we talked last night after your game at the Busch Light Open, it's been a while since you've won at Clinton.
Yep. Yeah, it's been a long time since we've won at Clinton. You forget how long it's been. I mean, because we've had some good matchups with them. Over the years, some close games, some games that kind of get out of hand when we're struggling defensively. But, yeah, it was nice to pick up that 4-3 win on Father's Day. And, yeah, I think, was it 2017 or something like that? Our team historian, I think, yes. It said was last time we won in Clinton. So it's been quite some time.
Yeah, Brandon Hill is the quote-unquote team historian, and he usually can tell you who was playing what position, who pitched, who had a good game, who had a bad game, and all the wins. And he said the last time we won in Clinton as the Madison Mallards was 2017. And I've always remarked, to me, Clinton and Morris always seems to have the best hitting lineup year in and year out. It's a tough place to play, as you know. And the top of my head, the thing that stood out the most was the pitching of Brandon Bornhorst.
Yep, yeah, Brandon Bornhorst. I mean, we know what we're going to get out of him game after game, year after year. And so far, he's putting together a very solid season. You know, like uncharacteristically, I think, in the second inning, you know, it just happenstance. You know, Clinton had scored two runs. I think they had four hits that inning. And Brandon, you know, settled down, scattered only four more hits, I believe, the next seven innings. So he really settles in. He knows how to pitch, knows what he has to do, keep people off balance. And he's just a pitcher that's really fun to watch on the mound.
Yeah, he's a wily veteran. I was riding with Paul Ramo one day, and he said, who's the best pitcher you've ever coached? And I said, if you think about it, when they started in high school through their high school career and playing amateur ball, Brandon Bornhorst is at the top of the list just because how effective he is. And, you know, he doesn't throw 85, 88 anymore, but he just he offsets that with just different arm angles, different pitches, and he knows how to work that strike zone. It's just really fun to watch. And he's also the fastest working pitcher in the league, in my opinion.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And that's one, I guess, gripe that our fans have when we're playing at home is the games get done too fast. But I mean, they could always stay longer, enjoy the concession stand and some refreshments. But yeah, I mean, that's the kind of pitcher you do want to play defense behind too. Someone that's going to work fast, someone that's going to be in the zone. You know, you don't want to sit there defensively and, you know, have people consistently walking around the bases. So, you know, we've been fortunate to have him for a long time, and we look forward to seeing what he does the rest of the season and the rest of his Mallards career.
Yeah, that's awesome. We'll just talk about his stats from that Clinton game since he did pitch so well.
Yep, yeah, so Brandon ended up going all nine innings. He only struck out five guys, but the key is the keeping people off bases with walks or hit batters. So he only had one walk on the day, and then he ended up scattering that eight hits, you know, with four of them being the last seven innings of the game. So, you know, Clinton still, you know, had some threats with some defensive miscues that we had late in the game. But, you know, Brandon works well under pressure and kind of just slams the door down. But, you know, he ended up giving three runs on the day, but only two earned. You know, and that's kind of the thing with all of our pitchers. You know, we know that what we're going to get out of them. They're pretty much going to keep us in every single game. They're going to give up, you know, very few earned runs, you know. And it's just the defensively where we got to get better, We know that, and help aid our pitchers as they move forward.
Yeah, he just it's fun to watch him in this other regard. Is he, like you said, he doesn't get rattled. So you literally cannot tell if we're ahead by five, down by five. If he's just walked a guy, given up a home run, he's got the same demeanor, which is really comforting as a manager when someone like that is on the mound.
Right. Yep. Yeah. When, you know, you have the defensive miscues too, it's, you know, he's not going to get after someone and show that negative emotion and bring anyone down. So, you know, he keeps positive attitude and just goes about his business. And it's fun to watch.
All right. Well, let's talk about the hitting. I know there weren't a lot of hits in that game. Had some key hits and some runs scored just at the right time.
Yep. Yeah, I think we ended up actually with nine hits that day. But, you know, we were facing Sam Adelman and Ryan Tolle. And, you know, both those pitchers are around the strike zone, both good pitchers, you know, been around throwing for a long time, and we know what to expect out of them. But, yeah, it did just take a while for us to get anything going that day, you know, mostly some soft hit balls until it turned out to, you know, a couple, Matt Inger hit that double in the gap, score a couple runs and get things going. But, you know, Landon Sherm, Brandon Hill, they both had hits. Matt Inger and Blake Wolschlager had two hits each. Or Evan Kellis had two hits each. Blake Wolschlager with one. You know, Wyatt Halverson had that one double in the eighth inning or ninth inning. And then Avery Whitnabel had a hit too. So, you know, we did have nine hits. They were mostly scattered, you know, except for the one inning where we were able to scratch three runs across. But, yeah, it's it was nice to get that win in Clinton. You know, it's always that tough ball club. And, you know, the guys battled. And, yeah, it was good to pick up that Land of Ducks win and improve to 6-1.
Yeah, and that's great. We were just talking about the Land of Ducks standing. It's kind of hard to find the current up-to-date standings, but the Mallards at 6-1 would, I would guess, be in the top three in the standings.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah, I would guess probably, I mean, top two for sure. I mean, we'd be tied with somebody else with one loss, but yeah, our only loss, that Morris game. And, you know, of course, like you said, Morris is one of the strongest hitting teams in the Lander Ducks, or is, you know, year in and year out, and a tough ball club, good pitching staff. So, yeah, we'll just have to keep moving forward in the Lander Ducks here to finish off the season and, you know, see what happens.
Well, then last night you heard that game right here on Q92. What a thrilling finish to that game. It was the first game of the Busch Light Open. That's like the 12th year they've done that now. You did play Rosen, which is a Land of Ducks opponent, but that was not a league game. And, man, that had a little bit of everything. Two great pitching performances by Mike Shakey and Wyatt Halverson. Some great defensive plays by both teams. And a huge hit in the seventh inning and a game-saving defensive play in the seventh. Take us through that game last night.
Yep, yeah. So, you know, it's a opening matchup of the Busch Light Invite. You know, when we're in it, we're always facing Rosen in that non-league game first. It seems like those Friday night games always go quick. And it's always like a 1-0, 2-1 ball game. So, and that's how it ended up last night, too. But, you know, Mike Shakey on the mound, he threw very well for Rosen. I don't know if it was just keeping everyone off balanced or what, but we could just not square anything up through six innings. You know, we had that little infield hit by Matt Darn to break up the no-hitter. But, you know, other than that, we just had to wait till the seventh inning, and then guys came through. But, you know, it's kind of the same way for Rosen. You know, Wyatt threw very well on the mound as well. I think both teams only ended up with four hits. And I think Rosen's, you know, one of those was an infield hit, and then the rest were scattered throughout the seven innings. So, you know, Wyatt threw a heck of a ball game as well. Just fun to watch, curveball working, throwing strikes. But yeah, it's we decided to wait till the seventh to get something going. And,
well, you know, I was doing the game on the radio, and Robin Rademacher was doing the PA, and on that one, Nolan Smith hit kind of a little dribbler to third base, and Preston Kraft had to pick it up and spin around and throw it a little bit high. So we kind of were 50-50 on whether that was an infield hit. But regardless, you only had one or two hits going into the seventh inning. Then the seventh inning, you had three hits, and, you know, it started off Blake Wolschlager, first guy up, got a hit. That was huge. But then Mike Shakey got the next two guys out. And then, of course, you bring in pinch hitter Matt Inger, a longtime player, and just is one of the best hitters in the Land of Ducks. And he just proceeded to get another hit, like he always does. Yep. And then Brad Kuzman, recruit, a 99 graduate of Lacaparo, he drew a walk and made the bases loaded. And that brought up Caden Fernholz with a full count, two outs, and the bases loaded. what was that like?
Yeah. Well, Caden's in the studio now, so we can ask him. So, you know, it's I think that came on a full count as well. So, you know, it's Caden's, I think, taking off the rest of the weekend, so having some fun. But yeah, we're definitely grateful that he made the game yesterday to catch and then get that big hit. But, you know, that's historically, Caden has had some very big hits in his Mallard's career. But, yeah, it was fun to see him rope that one over the center fielder's head, us come around, score two runs, and then, I guess that calm the Rosen crowd down. I mean, that's one thing about the atmosphere there. Yeah. It's, you know, they get excited, their team gets excited, our fans get excited. Yeah. It's just a fun place to play a game, and I guess a good way to end it for us as, you know, we scored those two runs and then Wyatt shut the door in the bottom of the seventh inning.
Yeah, I would say that between Rosen and Madison, they have the two biggest fan bases in the Land of Ducks, and anytime they're playing each other, it's a raucous crowd and a lot of fun, and everyone knows each other. There's quite a few Lac Parle graduates playing on Rosen's team as well. So, and that game ended. Landon Sherm came up and made a diving catch to take away the game-tying hit by Preston Kraft. So a great finish to that game, a 2-1 win for the start of the Busch Light. Let's run through a little bit of the hitting in that game.
Yep. Yeah. So our hits, we're minimal, I guess. But Matt Arndt had that infield hit in the third inning. But then we waited till the seventh for Blake Wolfschlager to get his hit, Matt Inger to have that pitch hit, and then Caden Fernals with that big two-run double. So only ended the game with four hits. We did have two errors defensively, but so we cleaned that up a little bit. You know, it's Brandon Hill made some nice plays at shortstop in the hole with his strong arm, was able to get two quick runners out, and that was late in the game. So, you know, our defense came through there, and Landon Sherm, you ask him, he's going to say, you know, he's struggling at the plate recently. Yeah. You know, he knows it, but he's working through some things, and, you know, but defensively it's not affecting him. So it's nice to have someone like that that can cover some ground in the outfield, and, you know, if that would have dropped, the game would have been tied, and Who knows? He'd still be playing, maybe. That's but right. It was fun to have him out there in center field. And, you know that if he can get to it, it's probably going to get caught.
Well, so. Wyatt Halvorsen had a quote of the day on the postgame show. He said the earth is covered by 70% land and the other 30% covered by Landon Sherm.
Yep.
So, well, you have another game today and tomorrow. Just take us through those, and then we'll take a break and come back with more of the coaches show. So what's up for today?
Yep. So our schedule has changed from the original one. But, we play Wahpeton at 5 p.m., which is the last game of the day over in Rosen. And then Sunday we face Sacred Heart at 1 p.m. So should be two good games. These non-league games, it's a good opportunity to get guys innings that haven't been getting innings, get them at bats, you know, and just everyone else prepare for the rest of the season. That's one thing we want to get better. We want to take advantage of where we're at and our opportunity that's in front of us. And, you know, we'll just have to see what happens when we finally play at home here in a couple weeks. So we've been away for quite some time. We got four home games left in July. So, hopefully we can get our fans out and have them enjoying some baseball in Madison. As, you know, Legion's had a pretty successful season. And
Junior Legion.
We've been, getting some fans there. So you can get your full of baseball in Madison still.
That's awesome. Yeah, you'll be off until the Chamber night, which I believe is July 8th. You'll take on Dawson in a big Land of Ducks League game there. So congratulations on the two wins this week. Good luck today and tomorrow. And we'll be back with Caden Fernholz, the Legion manager, after these messages.
Sundrop, the original citrus soda, predates any of the other copycat citrus sodas. Sundrop is a local favorite that has been distributed by Madison Bottling Company since the 1960s. Thanks for making Sundrop the local citrus soda favorite. Distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Stock up and save this week at the Country Butcher in downtown Dawson with some delicious deals. Stop in and grab yours while supplies last. The Country Butcher is open Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 1, and they're closed Sunday and Monday.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
9:20 here at Q92. Let's get back to the coach's show. Here's Bart.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Now we have the Legion manager, Caden Fernholz, and the American Legion team is off to a 6-2 record, a great start. And Caden said he hasn't been on yet, so just give us a little quick rundown of that 6-2 start, and then we'll talk about that big tournament last weekend, and of course your two league games this week.
Yeah, it's been a fun start to the season with a good group of guys and good start here. And we started the season with a 14-7 win over Sacred Heart and then a 15-0 win over Kirkhoven. And that was a doubleheader that night. We dropped the second game to Redwood Falls 4-6 in a well-played game. And then we had our tournament this past weekend where we won the Friday night game against Como Park St. Paul 10-0. And Saturday we picked up a win against Ashby behind a really good game from Nolan Smith on the mound, 3-0, and then dropped the championship game to Wilmer 6-0.
Yeah, let's concentrate on that tournament a little bit more because, you know, I was writing up the articles for the Western Guard, and I believe that in those three games total, you only gave up like 9 hits, which is amazing, and threw 2 shutouts right away. But it started with St. Paul Como Friday night, a 10-0 win. And not only pitching, but you got the timely hits and used the walks and mistakes from the other team in getting that victory.
Yeah, I mean, that was wasn't sure what to expect out of them, so we just came out and played our baseball and played a pretty clean game all around. Our pitchers worked ahead early in counts. We got those big hits, like you said.
Yeah, that was great. And then Saturday morning, you took on Ashby and another shutout, won 3-0. And Ashby is made up of West Central, Brandon Evansville, and Ashby. So they're missing a couple guys, but they have 3 schools, and Brandon Evansville is in the state tournament as well. So that was a quality opponent. And again, another shutout. So take us maybe through the pitching stats or something in that Ashby game.
Yeah, they were a great team, and Nolan Smith was just nails on the mound. He threw 7 shutout innings, giving up only 1 hit. He struck out 10 guys and only walked 2 guys. And our defense didn't commit any errors, which is key for us this year, just helping our pitcher out and doing a good job. And Nolan did a really good job that game.
Yeah, that was great. And then that put you in the championship game against Wilmer. That was the first time we hosted that tournament. I don't know if you're planning on doing something like that again, but there are some really big schools. Wilmer, Fergus Falls was there, Worthington, St. Paul Como, Ashby, ourselves. I think I might be missing one team, but that was just a great tournament. And then you're playing Wilmer. We watched Wilmer in their first 2 games. They were a big, strong, physical team. They had a great defense. And on paper, you might think this game is going to get out of hand, but it was 1-0, I think, through 4 innings and 3-0 through 5, and it ended up being 6-0 Wilmer win. But just talk about some of the pitching or hits in that game as well.
Yeah, no, that was a great game to play, I think, to show these guys that we can hang with these bigger schools. And, I mean, like you said, it was 1-0 through 4 innings, and we had runners on base the whole day just couldn't come up with that big hit and had a couple of miscues in the field. But Grant Bierke started on the mound going 5 innings, giving up 3 runs. None of them were earned and struck out 4. So that was good to see from him. He didn't get to pitch a lot during the high school season since he was catching a lot, but he threw a good game. And Easton Fernals and Bryson Danzeason both threw an inning to finish that game off.
And yeah, and I think that was the game that Nolan Smith was catching, right?
Yeah, Nolan, he got behind the plate there, and so he did a good job, and it was good to get Grant and Bryson off their feet since they've been catching a lot of games this year.
Yeah, I think someone said it the last time maybe Nolan caught was 7th or 8th grade in junior high for sure, so mm-hmm. I was surprised to see him back there.
He said he wanted to, so I gave him that chance. And
that is awesome. So hitting in that game.
Yeah, we only had 1 hit that game by Tanner Tilbury, but a couple hard outs, and drew 2 walks that game.
Okay. Well, then, so that was a second place finish, a great job, and talked to a lot of, I did talk to a Wilmer person. He said, boy, that was, they were better than we expected. So that was a great showing by the Legion team over the weekend. And then you had 2 league games. You had Cottonwood on Monday. And it was not a close game.
No, it was. They're a pretty young team and down in numbers, but so we came out and hit the ball around and did a really good job. Gavin Meyer, he started on the mound going 3 1/3 innings, striking out 6, giving up 5 hits.
Yeah. So for the third game in 4 games, the third time in 4 games, you pitched a shutout, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But you scored 17 runs, so you must have done something offensively right. What kind of stats did you have in that game?
Yeah, it was nice. We put together 12 hits, and I think almost everyone through the lineup got a hit. Gavin Mortensen had 1 hit and an RBI. Gavin Meyer had a hit and an RBI. Nolan Smith was 1-for-1 with 2 RBIs. Brant Schulmer was 2-for-2 with an RBI. Tanner Tilbury was 1-for-2 with 2 RBIs. Jackson Fernals was 2-for-2 with 2 RBIs. Easton Fernals was 1-for-2 with an RBI. Max Young had a hit, and then Malcolm Williard was also 1-for-1 with an RBI.
That's amazing. I think you just mentioned 10 guys, and 8 of those had RBIs. That's, you can't ask for anything more as a coach.
Yeah, that was a great hitting performance by the team, which is good to see after the weekend. The bats were a little cold and finally helped our pitchers out a little more.
Yeah, then Thursday night you had a big, big matchup against Granite Falls, and Wyoming in the spring season knocked us into the loser's bracket in the playoffs, and they're like us. They have a lot of young players that play both Junior Legion and Legion, and they're a very, very good team. And they scored 3, I believe, in the first inning and got 4 or 5 hits off Nolan Smith, and then he settled down, and you ended up winning 14-4 in 6 innings. So talk about that game.
Yeah, that was a great game. And you know, when they come to town, it's going to be a tough game. They're a good hitting team. There's no easy outs through that lineup. But yeah, like you said, they scored those 3 right away, but then Nolan Smith settled down and threw a great game from then on out.
Yeah, he was pretty excited. I talked to him last night. And so 14-4, 14 runs. Who was hitting the ball?
Yeah, we had 7 hits that night and drew 11 walks. So had runners on all through the night. And Gavin Mortensen was 1-for-2 with an RBI. Then Nolan Smith had, he was 2-for-4 with a double and 4 RBIs. And then Easton Fernals was 2-for-2. And Carter Moen had 2 big, I think he had a bases clearing double and then a 2-run double to give us the win there at the end. So he was 2-for-2 with 5 RBIs.
Yeah, you had Nolan Smith and Carter Moen, 2 players that had combined 9 RBIs. Yeah, so that is pretty impressive.
And looking at the runs, the bottom 4 guys in our order accounted for 10 of our 14 runs. So they were on base all through the night, just creating havoc.
Yeah, it's just been a lot of fun to watch. Like I said, a lot of those players are dual players, play with the Junior Legion. They're getting a lot of baseball, sometimes 4 games a week, sometimes more, you know, when you tie in that tournament. And so it's pretty exciting. The future for Lacaparra baseball and summer baseball is really, really positive right now. So now you come back and play again on Monday night, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, we play Montevideo at home Monday night. So we know that's going to be a tough game. But if we keep playing like we've been playing, we'll compete with them and hopefully have a good game.
Yeah, that is awesome. So we wish you luck in that. And just a quick thing before we end this, talk about that game-winning hit last night. Bases loaded, and you had a full count against Mike Shakey, who had at one point shut down 12 straight Mallards hitters, and you delivered with a bases-loaded double.
Yeah, that was a fun game last night. It's kind of a friendly rivalry with them, so it's always good to get those wins and help out Wyatt, who threw a great game. So good to get that win for him.
Yeah, and now you're taking off the rest of the weekend, going to get a little R&R, so have fun this weekend. And congratulations, great job so far with the Legion. Good luck on Monday.
Yeah, thanks. It's a great group of guys, and I'd like to thank all the parents and players that helped the last weekend at the tournament. That couldn't have done without them, and got some great weather.
It takes a whole village to run a tournament that big with that many games. Mm-hmm. I think there are 10 games starting Friday night down there through Sunday, so impressive. So, yeah, thanks to all those that helped out. Well, thanks a lot then, Caden, and good luck both playing and coaching the rest of the season. We'll be back with more of the Coaches Show after these messages.
See a movie this weekend at the Grand Theater at Madison, showing Friday, June 26th through Monday, June 29th in Theater 1, the hottest movie in the country, Toy Story 5, rated PG. That's Toy Story 5 in Theater 1. And in Theater 2, the final weekend for Disclosure Day, a sci-fi action thriller with Steven Spielberg as a director. That's Disclosure Day, PG-13 in Theater number 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand in Madison.
Everyday banking should fit your life. United Prairie Bank makes finances simple with checking and savings accounts that include secure mobile access, helpful money management tools, and friendly local support. Open an account online today and take the first steps toward your financial goals, one deposit at a time. Member FDIC.
Helping you grow, making your dreams come true. United Prairie Bank will help you get there.
All right, race fans, check out Madison Speedway. This Saturday night, a regular night of racing action. All seven classes in action. I'd like to thank their sponsors of this time, Bruce's 66 Santa Marietta and United Prairie Bank. Once again, the green flag flies at 7 o'clock this Saturday night at Madison Speedway. I am Scotty Ione, and we will see you at the track.
Racing at the Madison Speedway this week, also sponsored by Farmers Mutual Telephone Company. Let's take a look at some things going on around the area this weekend. Today, music by Dane's Dutchman will be at the Prairie Ballroom at the Red Barn west of Rosen from 7 until 10 this evening. $15 cover charge includes a light lunch. On Sunday, all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast and lunch will be from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Hilltop Bar and Grill in Dawson. It's a fundraising event for American Legion Baseball being sponsored by American Legion Post 177 in Dawson, part of Riverfest. Sunday, the Western Prairie Farm Collectors will be serving an omelet brunch at the Appleton VFW from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Everyone's welcome. Roast beef commercial dinner will be served 11 to 1 at the Marietta Community Center on Sunday. Bingo will follow at 1:15. On the menu, savory roast beef and all the trimmings. Free will donation gets you in, and takeouts and in-town delivery are available by calling 320-668-2187 tomorrow. The meal does include one free bingo card. That event's sponsored by the Marietta Hometown Committee. Proceeds benefit area projects. St. Leo Annual Church Dinner will be on Sunday the 28th. Mass at 10 a.m., followed by the meal served from 11 to 1. On the menu, roast beef, mashed potatoes, and all the other goodies that go along with it. Cost will be $20 for adults, $12 for children ages 5 to 10, free for kids age 4 and under. Be a bake sale, country store, and other games in the church grounds in St. Leo on Sunday. Trinity Lutheran Church, Fairfield Township, north of Holloway, will be celebrating their 150th anniversary on Sunday. Special worship service at the church. Master service will be a time for fellowship. Everyone's invited to join in that celebration at Trinity Lutheran in Fairfield Township up there in Swift County, north of Holloway. And it's Riverfest weekend in Dawson, so lots of activities going on both today and tomorrow in the Dawson community.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We are talking with Tyler Ottoman, the Rosen Express manager. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning.
Oh, beautiful day, and you know, we started that Busch Light tournament last night. It was just a gorgeous night, and it was amazing how many people were at that game between Madison and Rosen.
Yeah, it always seems like when Rosen and Madison play, it's always a good turnout, no matter where the event, that it's Madison or if it's in Rosen.
Yeah,
there's always a good draw.
It is, and everyone knows each other well, and there's a lot of players that played together with each other in high school, so it's just a great atmosphere. But let's back up to last, I believe it was last Sunday, you hosted Morris, and Morris went through the league last year. They did not lose a league game, and I don't believe they've lost a league game yet this year. And I think, according to Game Changer, you were down early, came back, and almost made a great comeback at the end. So I think that was a 5-4 loss. But talk about that Morris game last week.
Yeah. Last week we played Morris on Father's Day, the only game that we had that weekend. But like you said, we were down early. Right away, Morris, they're always a great hitting team. They put the ball in play, and they can also hit for extra bases. But we had Kaden Mortensen start on the mound, and the first thing right away, they do what they always do. They scratch and claw, and they got a run right away in the first inning to get them up 1-0. And then the third inning, with two outs, they took advantage of an error and scored two more runs. And then the fifth inning, start the inning off, they got base runners right away, and they scored two more. But then Mike Shakey came in and threw the next 3 2/3 inning, and Devin Boots threw the last inning and kind of shut, kept Morris at bay off the bases for the most part. I believe they only had one hit after Kaden Mortensen left the game, but Rosen then came back and kind of clawed our way back in. I mean, give us credit, or I give the guys a lot of credit. We were getting no hit through the first six innings. It was just Brandon Jorgensen was pitching. He was, you know, he was throwing strikes. He had everything kind of working, it seemed like. And then finally, the seventh inning, Nate Strong let us off with a single to kind of get little bit of momentum, but then finally, eighth inning, it really took off for Devin Boots, put the ball in play, hit to the third baseman, made a very nice play, but a tough play, and he threw it over to first and got by him, and it kind of started a little bit of a rally that we had. So Devin Boots led the inning off with an error, getting on by an error, and then Landon Weber getting walked, and then Evan Ingersoll with a big at-bat with two outs, getting an RBI single, and then Drew Boots got on, but he got on also, and then Nate Strong with two outs hit a two-run double to kind of get us back in the game and make it very interesting at that point. Rosen did score another run in the ninth inning by Dylan Keimer getting a single, and Caden Lawrence getting an RBI, but we fell just one run short by the score of 5-4.
Yeah, and I think talking to Robin Rademacher last night, I think did you have the tying run in scoring position when the game ended?
We had, yes. Peyton Rademacher was on second, and Landon Weber was on first, so we had the tying run and the game-winning run on base.
Yeah, another exciting game. So talk about the hitting quickly in that game. Who hit for you?
Yep. For hits on the day, it was Nate Strong led us in hits. He had two hits. And one of them was a double, two RBI. Also with hits was Preston Kraft, Dylan Keimig, Peyton Rademacher, Landon Weber, and Evan Ingersoll with a hit and an RBI.
Yeah, you have a very young team now, don't you?
yes, we're finally getting older, so it's been a while. It's getting there, finally getting there. I laugh. Finally, we're starting to turn 21, you know. So.
Oh, that is awesome.
It took us a while, but.
So then you took on Madison last night. It was not a league game. It was a seven-inning game, and I had the privilege of broadcasting that game on Q92, and it was one of the best games that I've watched just to see how it unfolded in the defensive plays. Madison did come away with 2-1 win, but, boy, Mike Shakey was awfully, awfully good. He retired 12 batters at one point in that game, and Madison came up with a big hit to get two runs in the seventh. Otherwise, he virtually shut down that offense for the Mallards.
Yes. Mike, he went all seven innings. He did give up two runs. Madison only had one hit going into the seventh inning, and he gave up a leadoff single. But then, finished next two guys out. But then it's just you get that last out. Sometimes it's the toughest out to get.
Yes, it
but,
is.
But I give Madison credit. They worked him, and Mike kind of did an uncharacteristic thing by walking a couple guys there, and unlike Mike, but Madison came out with the 2-1 victory in seven innings.
Yeah, I think Matt Munson said each team only had four hits in that game, and who were the hitters for Rosen last night?
The hits on the day, we have Preston Kraft with a hit, Keenan Morrison with a hit, and Davis Patzer with two hits and an RBI.
Yeah, and Davis had that stand-up triple there, and he got left stranded at third. But the game also ended. Preston Kraft was up, and his one base hit was just a line shot through the left side of the infield, and he got up and smoked another one, and Landon Sherm just made a great read on it, came in and went down to his knees and made a great catch to end the game. Otherwise, it would have been a tie score, and who knows what would have happened.
Right, yes. We put the ball in play for the most part, and Madison made nice plays, and give our guys credit too. We had some couple nice plays. Dylan Keimig isn't real tall, but he really got off the ground. He made a diving catch behind Preston Kraft at third that you don't see that often either. So.
Yeah, that was one of our plays of the game that I said I wish someone would add that on film, sent that to ESPN. That would have been a top 10 play. That was just really fun to watch. So, but you are not done yet, and because one of the teams dropped out, it's a little different format, so you actually are going to play, I believe, two games today and one tomorrow. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah,
yep.
Tell us who you're playing then and when.
So today, like you said, different formats. There will be four games today, starting off at 11 o'clock. Rosen will play Sacred Heart, and we will follow that up playing Montrose Waverly at 1 o'clock, right after our game. And what we did is mainly just Rosen will be playing four games. That way, everyone else can play three games, and we'll find out how much pitching we actually do have.
Yeah, that's always the test. Four games in 3 days, so yeah.
Yes.
And I think I believe your overall record now is 6-4, but I think three of those losses were just by one run.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. So
and then our other loss was by three runs.
Yeah.
So we've been playing teams very competitively, and
yeah. Well, you got a lot of good young players, and they're excited, they're eager, and you got a great fan base watching you. I'm sure it'll be a crowded place today over in Rosen. So,
yes.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Tyler, for talking with us today. Good luck in your two games today, one game tomorrow. And then also, you have your big 4th of July game on the 4th of July. Who are you playing, and what time is that game?
Next Saturday on the 4th, we will be hosting Clinton Cards at 2:30.
Yeah, that's always a great atmosphere. Good way to celebrate the 250th anniversary. Go have some beer and brats and watch some baseball. The Triple Bs, you can never go wrong.
Right, correct.
All right. Well, good luck, Tyler. Thanks for talking with us this morning. And we'll be back with more of the Coach's Show after these messages.
My friend was thinking about suicide, so he called 988.
I was really struggling, so I texted 988.
I didn't know where to turn. So I reached out to 988.
The 988 Minnesota Lifeline offers free 24/7 confidential support from trained local staff. If you're in crisis or just need to talk, call or text 988 or chat at 988lifeline.org. Paid for by Mental Health Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Lacaparo Valley softball team would like to thank our Home Run Club sponsors for their generous support of our team. The 2026 Home Run Club sponsors include Holloway Rod and Gud Club, Zarbuck Funeral Home, Clean Sight, Golden Harvest Chickasaw Seeds, Ludvigson Tiling, Q92.1 FM, Appleton Dental Care, Fernald's Concrete, Tim and Sherilyn Meyer, and Joe Schreier.
Appleton Sportsman's Club, Traeger Seeds Pioneer, Bellingham Legion Post 441, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Home to Home, Egg Country, Borset Rock and Excavation, Kibble Equipment, Piotr Construction, Myland American Legion Post 359, Richard and Sam Meyer Family, the Appleton Press, and the Western Guard.
Appleton Area Health, Healing Journey by Sue, Madison Chiropractic, Cargill, Myland Fire Department, the Dryer Doctors, Clement Electric, Appleton Veterinarian Clinic, Prairie Sun Bank, HP Landscaping and Snow Removal, Chad and Link Kranz. Thank you to our Home Run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
It's Dawson's 39th Riverfest celebration Wednesday, June 24th through Sunday, June 28th. There's something for young and old, from baseball to great food and a big parade. This year, they're honoring their 2026 gnomes, Dr. Arnie and Bonnie Jostock. Check the Dawson Riverfest Facebook page, the Dawson Sentinel, and listen to Q92 for more information. That's Riverfest in Dawson, June 24th through the 28th. Come on over for the fun. This year's Riverfest Grand Parade will be at 2 p.m. Sunday, June 28th. Lineup begins at 1 p.m. at the golf course parking lot. No registration required. For information, contact Andy Stock at 320-226-1067. When you come to Dawson for Riverfest this week, stop by the Rusty Duck. Thursday, steak night. Friday, Lizzie Hofer, 6 to 9, no cover charge. Saturday, three-meat breakfast buffet from 9 to 11. Regular menu starts at 11. And Saturday night, Darren Prestall, 6 to 9 p.m., no cover charge at the Rusty Duck in Dawson.
All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, the baseball edition. We're talking with Jared Royland. He's the manager of the Junior Legion team, Madison VFW Post 1656. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bart. How you doing?
Doing fantastic. Got to see a great game last night, the Mallards win.
Yeah,
and I was just talking with Matt Munson. You know, we've got the Legion team is 6-2. The Junior Legion team is 7-2. The Mallards are 7-1. So baseball is happening right now in Madison.
Yeah, we're all doing pretty good right now. It's a great time to be down at the ballpark, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. So you just had one game this week, Tuesday night game, and that was with a big matchup with Mineota, and I believe that was down at Mineota, and the Junior Legion came away with a really nice win, 7-3 over Mineota. Talk about that
game. Yeah, it was a really good game, a really big win for us. The last two games against Canby and Mineota, they've both been, there's a bunch of us that were kind of in the middle of the pack going into those games, and so to get those two big wins the last two games have been huge for us. That has kind of catapulted us into we're tied with Bold and Monty now for second in the league, all three of us with one loss. So these last two wins have been huge for us, and that, I mean, when you've got that many good teams and you get down to the end of the year and the first tiebreaker is your head-to-head matchups, those big wins earlier in the season really pay off once you get down to the end and seeding and everything like that.
Yeah. Who is leading the league right now then?
Granite is okay. Undefeated. We did see them early a couple weeks ago. They are our one loss. Mm-hmm. But they're a really good team. We didn't have our best stuff that night. And I really look forward to hopefully getting another shot at them down the road in the playoffs. So.
Yeah. And Granite Falls is very similar to Madison in the fact that both of you have a lot of players that are dual players that play on the Junior Legion and Senior Legion. So when Granite Falls came over to play the Senior Legion on Thursday night, there's a lot of familiar names in that lineup that you know very well.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And they just got a lot of good, solid ball players down there.
Correct. You know? Well, and that 7-3 win over Mineota, obviously you held them to three runs. Talk about your pitching in that game.
Yeah, so Easton Fernals got the start and got the win. He pitched six really good innings, gave up, I think, five hits, two walks, and gave up two earned runs, and struck out eight batters. He was really dealing. He's been a real pleasant surprise for us. We kind of knew coming into the year that we had Carter Moen and Jackson Fernals were going to be our top two starters, just with the amount of innings they threw during the varsity season and had success. And then after that, it was a bunch of guys that really we haven't seen as much of. And Easton has stepped up and he's been right up there with them. I mean, we look night in and night out when we look at our stats and everything like that. I mean, he's right up there with Carter and Jack, and even in a couple categories, he's maybe even a little ahead of them. So he's really been a pleasant surprise on the mound. Bart, the biggest thing is just being consistent and throwing strikes.
Yep.
And he's done that in spades to start the year. So it's been really fun watching him pitch and mature and seem to get a little more confidence with every start and every appearance. I think he's leading the team. I believe he's got three wins on the year.
Yeah.
So he's really pitched well for us, and it's been really fun to see.
Yeah, and those three pitchers you mentioned also do some work with the Senior Legion as well. So it's got to be you got to have a good communication with Caden Vernaltz, the Legion manager, in when these kids are going to pitch, because with the pitch count, it counts for both leagues. You have to keep track of that, and you can't just throw them out there every night.
Yeah. And Caden probably gets annoyed with us having to go back and forth so much, but especially was that last week when they had their
tournament,
Senior
yeah.
Legion tournament, you know, because he had two league games that week, I had two league games that week, and then he had his tournament that weekend, and so it was a lot of back and forth, like, who are you looking for tomorrow, or who do you need for tomorrow, so, okay, I can keep this guy under 60 pitches, you know, that kind of stuff, and I don't know, Munson maybe gets a little annoyed with us, but Caden and I maybe have a conversation or two in the Mallards dugout, too.
No, that's all right. It's just fun. When you're a player and a coach, you've got two hats that you have to wear, and they're both very important. So talk about the hitting in that game, seven runs against Mineota.
Yeah. So we got seven runs on six hits. I think we had three RBIs. One big thing that we've done, been able to do really all year long is coax their pitchers into giving us walks. We came up with eight walks again on the night. I think one through nine, I think we all were on base in some way, shape, or form. And so that's always, we've had that happen a number of times this year, and that's kind of fun to see production all the way up and down the lineup. But a couple guys that really stood out was Max Young had a really nice night at the plate. He was 2-for-4. He had two doubles, drove in two RBIs, and scored a run himself. Max has been our two-hole hitter, and we changed some things up, and I bumped him into the five-hole just to see if we can get a few more RBIs, and he did exactly that. I was really happy to see that. And then Tanner Tilbury's been swinging a hot bat for us all year. He was 1-for-3 with a double, and he got an RBI and also scored a run. And then Jackson Fernals has been our leadoff hitter all year. He was 2-for-4, scored two runs and drew another walk. So he was on base, you know, three times right at the top of the order, which is a really great thing to have to set the table for the rest of the order. And we actually ran a play. So in the first inning, Jack, I think, had a six-pitch at-bat. He went down 0-2 and then battled back and ended up coaxing a walk to start the game, and then got a really good jump and got stole second base, and then their pitcher was getting a little wild, and then he got the third on a wild pitch, and Carter Moen was the number two hitter, and I think he had a six-pitch at least at-bat, and he ended up coaxing a walk, and We knew Mineota was a good team, and so runs were probably going to come at a premium. So we ran just early break play.
Perfect.
Where Carter was. Yeah, I wonder where I learned that from. Carter was on his way down to first base, and he stepped on first, and then he immediately took off towards second, and kind of took the defense by surprise. And Jack was sitting at third base with me, just watching the whole play unfold, and Carter did it to perfection. I think he made him throw at least three throws back and forth in the hot box, and Jack came around to score, and so we got that first run right away to kind of set the tone early, and we never really looked back from there.
Wow, that's awesome. So, yeah, so that puts your record at 7-2, but you're not done yet. You got,
nope.
Is it just one or two league games this week? I think it's just the one on Tuesday, right?
Yep. We have one big league game against Bold. Like I said earlier, we're tied with them right now in second place in the league. So that'll be a really big game. Luckily, it's at home. Love to see a bunch of the fans down there for a really fun game. They're Bold is always a really good ball club.
Yep.
So I expect to see some really good baseball on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock down at the field.
Yeah, the Legion starts at 7 o'clock. They have a home game Monday. Junior Legion, 6 o'clock on Tuesday. And weather permitting, and I only say that because they're talking about maybe temperatures of 100 degrees on Monday. I don't know what they'll do with the game, and it's still going to be in the upper 90s with humidity in the air on Tuesday, so we'll just make sure and let everyone know if those games will be played or if they will adjust something due to those extreme heat conditions. So,
yeah, we're not used to that.
No, we are not. It's been cold and windy. Well, thanks a lot for talking with us, Jared. Good luck next week, and have a happy 4th as well.
Yeah, you too. Thank you, Bart.
All right, we're talking to Junior Legion manager Jared Royland, and that's going to conclude this edition of the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. So tune in next week at 9 o'clock for more summer baseball coaches. All right, thanks, everyone.